Hey everyone, welcome to The Withering Effect, episode 103. Today's date is July 11th, 2021, and I am Duds, or Duds Versus, known to the rest of the interwebs.
And I'm Jimbo. You may know me as Jimbo Slice 23. So what have you been up to this week, Duds?
Need sleep.
Go to sleep.
I've tried.
Need a nap.
So you guys are going to get a tiny bit of sports talk. I promise I'll keep it really short just to explain my sleeping thing. So I'm a huge hockey fan. I'm a Tampa Bay Lightning fan, and they were in the Stanley Cup Finals. They were one game away from sweeping in the finals on Monday. They ended up losing that game in overtime, and games generally last till about 11 p.m. anyways. So the fact that it went to overtime mean the game was on even later, and then we lost. So basically, I was upset and angry with the world all night and barely got any sleep. The next day comes around, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to bed extra early today. We'll make up for the sleep. All will be well. Climb in bed at 9 p.m. I'm like, this is great. 2 a.m., my eyes are wide open. I can't fall asleep to save my life.
You got those hockey voices in the back of your head, announcers.
It really wasn't even the hockey at this point. It was just brain couldn't turn off, so I couldn't fall asleep. Wednesday rolls around. We have the next hockey game. This is game five. My team wins the game 1-0. I had my little Fitbit thing that does your heart rate. And my heart rate never went below 99 the entire game.
Mm.
And then they won the game. So I stayed up watching all the celebration stuff. So I didn't sleep again Wednesday night. And then Thursday and Friday, I slept relatively close to what I normally get. I generally only get about 6 hours of sleep every night. And I kind of stayed right at that. But that also means I never recovered from any of my missing sleep. And basically all weekend, I've done nothing but lounge around. And it's hurting.
Starting to feel it now.
I'm starting to feel it now. And the worst part is we're doing a late recording tonight instead of our normal 10 a.m. recording. So it's like, as soon as we're done, I'm going to bed.
You might fall asleep mid-show. You never know.
I might. If you guys just hear Jimbo talk for the rest of the episode, I passed out.
Yeah, I'll try to keep us going.
Keep it going.
I'll try. See, I've been having sleep issues lately because I've been working out, going to the gym, and I'm supposed to get like 8 hours, I said, for the best, you know, muscle growth or whatever. You need to get your 8 hours of sleep. And I would sleep like 4 hours, wake up like wide awake.
Yeah.
And then I'd have to like force myself to go back to sleep, but I'd have to get up. I'd have to do something and get tired again to go back to sleep. So my sleep's not all there, but I'm maintaining like 6 to 7 hours at night. But yeah, mine's all wonky too.
Yeah, sleep lately is, I think it's more to do with brain than anything else. There's personal stuff going on in my life that has me relatively stressed.
That'll do it.
It's stuff I don't really want to talk about, so we'll leave it at that. But mixing with hockey, the hockey was a great bit of relief this week. I'm super happy, so that helps me with that.
Mm-hmm.
But other than non-Minecraft stuff, I did a glow squid farm last week that I was super excited with. It was based off a raised work farm, but the raised work farm didn't work. Now, he may have updated it since, but it basically had a tank with flowing water on one side that whenever an axolotl would kill a glow squid, the items would obviously float to the top, and the flowing water on the top level would push the glow ink over or in between a wall and a drop. So the axolotls couldn't get through the drop, but obviously the items could.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that, as people have seen if you've watched my last episode with Tucker and stuff, axolotls get stuck on walls.
Yeah, it's weird.
They do not move. When they kiss the wall, they're done. You physically have to push them away from the wall. So I had all these axolotls in there, and they all got stuck on walls. They would never swim away from the wall.
I think I saw someone do a farm. Like, it's probably the same farm, and he had the same issue. Can't remember who it was.
I ended up fixing it. So if you go to the Wikipedia, you can see the hitbox of an axolotl is actually 0.6 or just above half a block tall. So what you can do is you can replace the walls with stairs, because the item will still flow under the stairs. Because remember, the hitbox for a stair actually conforms to the stair now.
Yeah.
So the item will flow under the stair, but the oxalotl obviously can't fit. I think you could probably get away with doing a half slab, now to think about it.
Yeah.
It all depends on how you set up, because a half slab, an item might be able to slip all the way across. But anyway, yeah. So I did a stair, ended up fixing it. That's what I had on me. So I went with that. A half slab probably would work there too. Not a trapdoor. Don't try trapdoors.
But it works?
No.
The
pickup mechanism works beautifully. Flawless. Mwah. Chef's kiss right there. The problem is, and this is kind of my fault, but also I'm going to gripe about parity differences here. I'm sure Prowl will enjoy this. I built my farm in a warm ocean because my entire base is in a warm ocean. And you know what spawns in warm oceans?
Not really.
Puffer fish.
Okay.
Yeah. And I went, well, this shouldn't be that big of a deal. The puffer fish will sting the oxalotls. The oxalotls will go into their little sleepy state, regen their health, and then go kill the puffer fish. So now I've got a puffer fish farm at the same time. Awesome. Now, those puffer fish hit the oxalotls, and when the oxalotls give up and go into their little sleep state, they attack them some more until they kill them.
I know they get poisoned too, so that might be taking them out while they're trying to regen. But I didn't know the puffer fish would attack, probably because the axolotl is attacking.
I thought it was just coincidence, and then I went into a creative world, watch an axolotl attack a puffer fish, go into sleep mode, float away from the puffer fish, and then the puffer fish literally 180'd and came right at the axolotl.
Oh, wow.
I went, man, enemies. Those things are mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, and right now I can't think of a way. I can build the farm differently. You know, the normal drop the squid and kill them that way.
Yeah.
I thought about doing that. The problem is that you have to have the natural stone. So redoing the farm is a little difficult because I purposely dug the tank out to fit the pickup mechanism so I can maximize the amount of naturally generated stone in the area. So I have that issue.
That stone, does it got to be under them, or is it just anywhere around them?
I thought it had to just be under them, but I didn't take the chance, so I made sure it was all around them.
Yeah.
Was natural, hoping to increase rates. Because the other thing, if you do a drop farm, then you don't have the stone within 5 blocks under them, because obviously you have to drop them from at least 20 blocks.
I was thinking magma blocks. You put those down there, they would just, you know, burn on the magma block.
I thought about that too. I don't know. I'll have to go into a test world and see if they'll spawn that way, because that honestly is the easiest fix. But if you look for glow squid farms, not a single person's done that, and it's like,
that's what I noticed.
Well, why wouldn't somebody do that? This seems like the easy fix.
I have a little area outside my base where I got my glow squid for my tank. And I was thinking, man, if I just put magma blocks down here, I could collect that. I would, you know, it would take care of the axolotls. You know, if anyone would need those, you couldn't get those, but I could collect the glow squid. But I don't know if it needed stone under them.
Yeah.
So wasn't sure.
Even with the little bit of lighting up on this farm was working really well till all the pufferfish just started killing my axolotls. So that stinks.
And I have pufferfish in my thing, but no axolotls, so they're kind of mingling with the squid and the other fish.
My other fish tank has puffer fish in it too, but I didn't put any axolotls in there because they would just eat everything. But finally I started work on a section of my mountain called Fisherman's Cove. I'm really excited for that. That's a lot of fun. It's very much in the beginning stages right now, so I don't have a lot to talk about that, but yeah, I'm pretty happy with how this week's coming Minecraft-wise with the little bit of sleep I've had. How about you? What have you been up to?
Before I go on with my progress, which isn't too much, I just want to say that Fisherman's Cove is looking good. I like the moss that you put on there. That's going to look pretty cool.
I see. Now I'm confused because there's no moss in Fisherman's Cove.
You put it above it.
That's the Pirate's Gate.
Okay.
We talked about that last week.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But yes, I like the moss on top of the Pirate's Gate.
I thought that was your cove.
Nope. Cove's on the backside. You got to walk around.
It's on the mountain, though.
Yes.
Right? Okay. I was getting confused there.
There's a whole path and everything now.
Okay. Let's see all that. But I have done no recording on Minecraft.
GG.
I have been playing, but it's mainly just like base progress, and it's only like when I have time.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to stream a lot of my progress if I'd be on for a couple hours or so, depending on the time. I've noticed there's times where I would stream and I would only get like few viewers, you know, 4 or 5 mm-hmm. viewers. I'm like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to try to do it at a decent time. And those times I'm mainly at the gym, and that's what I've been doing lately. I've been working out, and I'm almost got this dad bod gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe another month and I'll be feeling a lot better. But yeah, I've been just trying to diet, trying to get back in shape. I'm feeling a lot better, and I'm need to record some Minecraft, that's for sure. But I got a lot of base progress done, a lot of glass placement. Like, I've dug out the whole Sahara Desert at this point.
Yeah, I know. All the sand near my base is, like, gone.
Yeah, I took it. I got it.
Well, speaking of streaming, I don't know if people got the message. I put out a notice, like, I basically have stopped streaming for a bit, mainly because I was getting burned out, and it was becoming really hard juggling streaming and doing episodes. And the YouTube channel has actually been doing really well lately.
Mm-hmm.
At least for my standards. For anyone who has a decent-sized channel, this is childish. But it was doing well, so everyone who's been watching and stuff, thank you so much for the support. It means a ton, so I wanted to focus in on that. And I kind of felt it was time to do some updates on the stream, especially since I have the new computer. Some of the widgets and stuff have broken, and I haven't had time to fix them. So, yeah, I took a little bit of a break also. I think I'm streaming on stream day this coming weekend for everyone hearing.
Mm-hmm. I'm kicking it off, actually.
There you go.
7 a.m. my time.
Yeah, other than that, I've kind of also taken a break from the streaming to focus on YouTube, especially now that sports seasons are off for me to like September. I'll have a lot more time to dedicate to my channels and stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. What's funny is I got, for my birthday, I got a Stream Deck.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't messed with it at all. It's kind of just sitting there.
Dude, I use the Stream Deck more for editing than I do anything else.
Oh.
Yeah, like I've got it set up so it'll automatically open my editing program. The way I do an episode is I've got a folder called add-ons and I've got a folder called clips. And basically those two folders are linked to the Stream Deck. So I just go in there, I go boop, 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 and I open everything. And then the add-ons are the same every single week. And I just copy and paste that over into the current clips folder and then edit all my episode in that folder. And then when it's done, rename the folder to the episode name and then do all the stuff there. But yeah, it's being used for streaming, but I end up using it more for editing just because of the hotkeys.
Yeah, heard about the hotkeys. That's pretty much what it is. It's like a hotkey pad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Didn't really think about it for using it just in use for general use for editing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
But if that's all you got, should we move on to the news?
Yeah, it's everything.
All right. So we told you guys last week 117.1 should have come out, and it did come out. We'll quickly go over some of the stuff that happened. We got blue axolotls can now be gotten through breeding. That used to not be a thing. It used to be a super rare chance for you to find one. But now it's a super rare chance you can breed one.
Mm-hmm.
So
still super rare.
Still super rare. And if we're going to stay on super rare, might as well talk about the screaming goats. So a non-screaming goat parent has a super rare chance of breeding a screaming goat.
Still super rare.
Still super rare. you can also add status effects to goats now. So if you do the jumping effect, the goat will jump even higher, which is crazy because goats already jump super high.
Yeah. It's pretty fun, though, to see.
The big one for me is the copper rates from Drowned have been increased.
Yeah, pretty big.
It's going to be really nice. And I'm in love with Tango's copper farm. And I know he's giving a lot of credit to like El Mango and stuff, because he's taking, he took like several different farms and kind of mashed them together to create his own.
Mm-hmm.
But man, copper farms in general are just fun to watch.
Yeah, there's a lot to it, a lot more than you would think.
Yeah.
Like the spawning mechanics of the drowned and the zombies, it is pretty cool.
The best part is it's not super complicated redstone.
No.
It's just knowing the exploits for spawning and taking advantage of it. So that's really cool.
It's like all mechanics. Just take advantage of the mechanic.
Yeah, basically.
Pretty cool.
Powdered snow will fill a cauldron 2 times faster now, but that's still pretty slow.
Yeah.
Haven't even thought about messing with powdered snow, really.
Me neither. I have like a mountain right outside my swamp. Mm-hmm. There's a mountain like right there. I could always go and put cauldrons there, but I don't have a need for it, really. I kind of have my base set.
Same.
To where it needs to be. And yeah, I might grab some for like the storage area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to end up using any.
I wonder if powdered snow, though, can be a precursor to quicksand.
Yeah.
Thinking about it. That's one thought.
It's pretty similar.
And the final kind of big change is zombie villagers, husked, and drowned will no longer pick up glow ink sacks. And that's because you'd have glow squids in caves, would get shoved out of the water, because a lot of caves are all spaghetti noodly, and the zombies and stuff would pick it up and then never despawn. So.
And I believe when they have it, I don't know if it's an Optifine thing, but you would have a glow from that ink sac.
I think that's an Optifine thing.
Yeah.
Because glow ink is not technically supposed to glow, or I should say emit light.
I know the squid does, like in the water before Optifine. The squid would glow a little bit, or am I mistaken?
So it says it's glow, and it looks like it's glowing, but technically I don't think the squid emits light at all. I think it's just a nifty trick with textures to make it look like it's glowing.
Okay.
If that makes sense, because a lot of people were like, why doesn't this sign emit light? I put glow ink on it, because that's what I thought originally glow ink was going to do also. But no, it doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Think of it as a highlighter. That's what glow ink is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just remember seeing them, and I could actually find them by noticing there's light in that cave, and I would go swim into that cave, and there's a glow squid because of the light it emitted through the stone that it was around. That's how I found quite a few of them. But that could be an Optifine thing.
I don't even think it's an Optifine thing.
I've seen it.
But I might be wrong. It's the same effect they use with the, what's the arrow?
Spectral arrow?
Spectral arrow. Yeah, it's basically a spectral arrow built into a mob. So it's not emitting light, but it's glowing. That makes sense. I don't want to confuse people, because I know people are going to get a bit confused.
Yeah, someone's yelling at us right now, telling us how it works. You know that.
Yeah, the easiest way I can explain it is it's like a highlighter. It looks like it's producing light, but it is not emitting light.
Mm-hmm. That's a good example.
All right, but that's kind of it for the news. Like we were saying in the pre-show, there's kind of a Minecraft content drought. And I know that's really weird saying, with an absolute ton of SMPs starting over and stuff. News-wise, newsworthy content is in a drought.
Yeah, I did see on Twitter today that Minecraft Dungeons has like an end update coming,
mm-hmm.
like an addition to there, but that's about it. They only showed like a picture of the end portal. Not much game, or no gameplay, actually, but
yeah.
Yeah, stay tuned for that, I guess.
Yeah, me and Jimbo have decided at some point we will end up purchasing Dungeons and playing it, and so we'll have a good episode about Dungeons and maybe what we liked from Dungeons, what we want to see from Dungeons in Minecraft. So that could be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But should we move on to listener comments?
Yeah, we got quite a few here. Yeah, I'll start with a comment from Dirty Blonde 655. They ask, other than inventory update, what update do you think Minecraft needs most? This is a pretty popular question.
Mm-hmm. If I'm going to answer first, I agree the inventory update needs to be at the top of the list. But I'd also like them to look at food. Good buddy Omni did an episode talking about foods in Minecraft, and it's very much worth the watch. So shout out to Omni, but I believe the food system in the game definitely needs a rework. It's very lacklustering. There we go. Especially now that trading with villagers is so OP, you can just trade for golden carrots from farmers. I still do the steak thing because I felt like the steak took more work, but you also got a good reward in the fact that you got leather.
Yeah.
But once you get out of that, I mean, you can do cooked pork chops. Pork chops with the hogland farms, but those are just so easy. And I didn't want to take an easy way this season. Yeah, but other than those three, there's really nothing to eat in the game worth any kind of time or effort. What about you, Jimbo? What do you think needs to be improved the most?
I'm not big on the food update.
Okay.
I actually mentioned that before. I think I'm okay with the food, like the pork chop thing. Easier the better for me, if I can get them easier. I know it's fun to play with different mechanics and stuff, but yeah, I mean, the pork chops you get in the Nether, I think, is the way to go at this point, because, again, you do get the leather, it's easy, and the pork chops, it gives you 4 hearts, or what, 4 food, and the saturation isn't very bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. There's 3 foods that really stand out. Like you said, the steak, the golden carrots, and the pork chops. That's pretty much it. The other ones aren't really all that reliable, but I don't know. I'm okay with the food.
All right.
But I would like to see an end update. That's what I would like to see. I think being in the end this season, flying around, especially after being in the Nether, of how full of life it is now, you know, the end, it's full of life, all right. It's definitely full of life. Enderman. Everywhere, you know, it'd be nice to have different mobs and maybe some rare island biomes that we've never seen before. And I really like the fact that the end is an area that's not really, doesn't really go with what we see in normal life. Like you have the overworld and you have your animals and stuff. The end can be anything because it's not really, it's like a different dimension. So it could be real fun to see what kind of mobs they come up with there and plants and different structures. You already see the shulker boxes or the shulkers in the end cities, how, you know, goofy it looks. And I don't know. They kind of got the same structure with that in the plants with the coarse fruits, the way it grows and stretches out, kind of like a branch type of deal. But yeah, it's just different. And I like that. And I hope they touch up on it soon, I guess. I would really like to see an end update.
I agree. Though I feel like that's kind of the boring pick.
Mm.
But I said the same thing about the cave update. It's like, yeah, everyone wants all that stuff, but you only go there to grab resources and you leave.
Unless there's something there, you know.
Well, there's stuff in the Nether and we got our stuff and we left.
Well, not everyone. There's a bunch of builds in the Nether.
Is there anyone living in the Nether?
No, no one's living there.
Yeah.
You could.
You got your stuff and you got out.
Could live there. You could live in the end, technically.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, we got a question from Mangoes, and they ask, Minecraft was originally called Cave Game. If you were to name the game, what would you name it? To me, it seems like Block Survival would be the easiest idea.
Yeah.
I'm glad they went with Minecraft.
Yeah, I think they really nailed it with Minecraft. But it's a lot more than mining and crafting now. You know, it's definitely evolved from that.
Well, and it's a lot more than just survival too, so even my name doesn't work.
Yeah, it'd be really hard to pinpoint, you know, give it a name for what exactly it is. It's a good question, and I've actually read this question quite a few times and never really thought of an answer to it.
Good job, Jimbo.
Maybe like Squareverse or Square. I don't know.
Cubic World.
Something, yeah, like CubeCraft. I don't know. I like Minecraft.
Yeah.
I do like Minecraft. That is an interesting question. I'm curious if anyone's listening, if they have a better name than Minecraft for this game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so are we going to move on to the next one?
Then just move on to the next one.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a good question, though. Prime Gamer 3133 asks, what mob do you think adds the most gameplay to the game and makes Minecraft more immersive?
This is a tough one.
Yeah. I'd have to say villagers.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my first thought.
It does add the most gameplay.
Yeah, you can do a lot with villagers. A lot. Like farming, trading. There's builds that have different villagers in them now. It gives the server life or the world life. Then again, most mobs do, but you see that there's actually like not just an animal or a creature. There's like a living, well, I guess they're all living, but like a person. I don't know. What is a villager? Is it a person? I don't know. I'm starting to think of like...
I would consider it a person.
Like, yeah. You have like people wandering around that are kind of like you, but not like you.
Is it a... Person?
Yeah. What is that thing? They don't even speak my language.
Yeah, villagers is definitely the easy one. But I have something pre-1.9. I think the answer would be horses.
Okay.
If you think about it, because there's just this random mob that you can walk by and see. And then you could just climb on the back. And now you have a super quick mode of transport. Again, all before 1.9, the elytra kind of killed horses. We're seeing it come back on Hermitcraft, though.
Yeah.
They're really trying to push horse gameplay, which is kind of cool. But it also shows the downfall of horses and why everyone quickly jumped to elytras.
Right.
There's that. Other than that, I mean, villagers are kind of the easiest thing. Shulkers are really great for what they add gameplay-wise with shulker boxes. But they're not a mob that really... makes the game feel more immersive. They definitely bring fun to the end compared to Enderman.
Mm-hmm.
But when you compare anything to villagers, dolphins are really nice in the aquatic update. I love dolphins.
Yeah, I was going to say fish in the ocean. Like, the fish was always really empty and non-immersive, to be honest. The fish and the life in the ocean would probably be the second on my list behind villagers.
Yeah.
Just for life.
But that was a good question, Prime Gamer.
Mm-hmm.
We got that question from our Discord. And over the next few weeks, we're running a listener survey where you can help shape the future of the show. Here's Stonefigure to help you out with more information.
Hi, everyone. I'm Stonefigure. Over the next few weeks, The Withering Effect is running a listener survey to find out what you think of the show. Included are questions about our Patreon, so if you're a Patreon or are interested in joining, you can help shape future perks by following the link in the survey in the show notes. The survey will close at 10 p.m. BST on Saturday, July 24th, 2021. So don't delay and get involved today.
Thank you for that, Stonefigure. Remember to get involved with the survey and give us your feedback on the show. I keep forgetting there's a comma here.
Yeah, there's not a period.
There's not a period. Give us feedback on the show, our Patreon, and the Discord.
That's so funny.
That script's going to mess me up all the time.
You gotta say it in your sleep. If you sleep. You know, if you even go to sleep.
Dude, I can repeat the outro to the show, including our patrons, in my sleep.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I'm doing my outro, I'll even like look away and stuff, like cocky, like, yeah, I know what it says.
Look at me knowing what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Anyways, speaking of the Discord, it's the only place you can get involved in our Mending Minecraft vote. This week, we asked you to choose between one of three structures for us to discuss and improve. Your choices were Shipwreck, Bastion Remnant, and Ruin Portal.
And the winner of Mending Minecraft this week is... Bastion Remnants, probably the newest structure.
Yeah, what the heck, guys?
To vote for. Yeah, this was pretty interesting. The Remnants had, Bastion Remnants had 33 votes, Shipwreck with 26, and the Ruin Portal with 16. These are all relatively new, actually.
Yeah, they are relatively new.
I think Shipwreck would be the oldest, and that was the ocean update, aquatic. Yeah, so. I don't know. A few things I have here on the Bastion Remnants. Bastion Remnants are large castle-like generated structures found in the Nether in all the biomes except basalt deltas. though it can generate outside of basalt deltas and protrude into those biomes. I did read about that. They generate in four distinct variants, each with unique structure and set of loot. Piglins and piglin brutes spawn in these structures on generation, and hoglins also spawn on generation in the bridges and hoglin stable variants. Bastion remnants are only placed to find pigstep music disc and snout banner pattern and the magma cube spawner, which is meh, like the pigstep though. Other specific loot found in the bastions are ancient debris, netherite scrap, netherite ingot, enchanted books, diamonds, enchanted diamond tools, armor and weapons, also lodestone and enchanted golden apples. That's about it.
All right. Now comes the need to fix the newest thing added to the game, which was not... I had my money on ruined portals. I need to stop thinking I know what you guys are going to vote for, because obviously I don't.
Yeah.
So, Bastion Remnant, I've not explored Bastion Remnants much. One, because the loot feels like... most loot in Minecraft feels lackluster to me. That being said, the Bastion Remnant does have some of the best loot in the game, next to End Cities.
Yeah, I think with 117.1 in Bedrock, I read they're upping the loot in Bedrock.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to get more loot and more of that loot. Maybe it was... there wasn't much to begin with. We don't know. We don't play Bedrock. But yeah, apparently they're going to get a little update to the loot in the remnants, but not for Java.
Yeah. The fact that you can find netherite alone is great. The armor and the tools and stuff, it doesn't... once you have any kind of villager trading set up, that kind of loot becomes worthless to me. And that's why I always go, I would love to be able to find a sharpness 10 sword somewhere. You can't enchant a sharpness 10 sword. You could only find it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, would that make that one sword very, very awesome.
Oh, yeah. Don't want to die with that.
Yeah, just finding stuff like that, and like a fortune 6. Could you imagine that?
I could.
You wouldn't want to farm anything. You'd want to fortune all of it.
Right. Yeah, with the enchanted armor and weapons and stuff, you get diamond enchanted tools and, you know, weapons and everything, but you're not going to go in there without that stuff.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so you're going to have it. I wouldn't recommend going in there without enchanted diamond armor.
Yeah. Brutes and bastions are a formidable opponent. They will kill you.
Oh, yeah. In a few hits. Maybe two. Especially if you don't have diamond.
Yeah, here's the thing. They don't drop anything to make the trip worth it.
True.
Farming bastions is really just looting bastions. There's nothing really there to farm. You mentioned that you could get the magma spawner, but why would you want to farm magma cubes?
Right.
I mean, other than potions, and even then you're just like, do you really need to make that many potions?
You can always make a trading, piglin bartering,
right,
farm. In that case, you get the potions, you don't need the bottles. You know, you just get the potion.
Exactly. So there's a lot of overlap. That being said, pigstep and the snout banner are very good loots to get from bastions. So I give credit to that.
Pigstep's really rare.
Yes.
I do like that. I like that it's rare, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'll give that. The other thing I think people will agree with me with is some of these bastions are really chopped up. They don't puzzle together very well sometimes, and you can't make sense of where left and right is on these things. So,
well, there's four different variants, and most of the time I don't know what variant I'm looking at.
Right.
Because you're only getting so much of the bastion exposed, so you don't really know what you're walking into.
Mm.
Which can be fun in some sense, you know, the mystery, but it can be very dangerous. Like, you're in the nether, and you don't want to die that easy.
Right.
You want to have a chance to survive, so you don't just want to walk into an army of pig or piglins or brutes.
Exactly. So I'd like to see them a little bit more put together. I like the idea that they're decaying structures and that they puzzle themselves together. I just don't feel they puzzle themselves together the best sometimes. Sometimes you go in and you're like, okay, I know exactly what that is. I know what that is. I need to go here. And then other times you go in and you're like, did somebody already loot this before me and rip down half the building?
Yeah. Question that a couple times.
Right. So There's that, which also means it's very hard to fight off things in the Bastion.
Yeah, a lot of close quarter combat.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get your distance to use your bow, which is ideal because they hit really hard.
They do. Them brutes, man, they're nothing to mess with.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of my fixes to Bastions. I didn't really feel that they needed a lot of work. Again, when Carl gave me these three ideas, I went, ruin portal, obviously. But
yeah, I'm kind of surprised the brutes don't drop anything too special.
Right? Even if it was just a gold block.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
Just something to up the piglin, the regular piglin.
Mm-hmm.
Because they spawn there and they don't respawn. They're pretty special, but they don't really leave you anything. They're just like the decor. They are the challenge to get to this loot that may or may not be worth going in for.
Yeah. See, I thought they did respawn.
No, not brutes.
Oh.
The piglins do, not the brutes.
Yo, that's even less of a reason to farm stuff in the Bastion.
Yep. If there's no brutes there, someone's been there.
Gotcha.
Once you take care of them, they're gone.
Well, never mind then. But yeah, that kind of concludes my fix. I want to know what you guys think. Jimbo, was there any comments from the Discord?
Nothing really standing out too much. There were some good mentions with the other things to vote on, but Bastions, you know, it's a lot of people mention that this is the newest one, so how can you fix it? You know, a lot of people don't know how to fix it, so it's, yeah, there are a couple issues that we've mentioned that could be looked at, but you know, it's pretty early to fix it.
Yeah, I'm looking, Sky 3012, I see you. They also are saying that Bastions should be less destroyed.
Yeah.
They agree with me there. Yeah, J-Man's mentioning more colors added to it. I think that's the problem with all Minecraft structures, is Mojang gets wrapped up in one block type and just goes for it.
Yeah, it's pretty much Blackstone.
Yeah.
That's it. Just Blackstone.
Pretty much Blackstone. But yeah, should we move into the topic this week?
Yeah, kind of a smaller topic, but something we can talk about, I guess.
And it's, we kind of hit this with the Nether update a little bit ago before 1.17 came out, and it's stuff we haven't used in 1.17 yet.
Mm-hmm. We've talked a little bit earlier about the powdered snow.
Yeah, I haven't used powdered snow. I haven't really seen a use for it, period.
Mm-hmm.
But again, just because I'm not using it doesn't mean it's not useful. It just means I haven't found a use for it. Like the goat. I have not gone out and found a goat in the wild. I haven't even thought about getting a goat, period. To me, the goat would be a decoration in my base more so than a useful item or a useful mob to have.
Yeah. The only reason I have a goat is because I found a screaming goat, which is really rare. And I was like, I gotta have this guy. Yeah, he's really rare. That's the only reason I have a goat. He might just sit there in a boat.
You play Minecraft like Pokemon. You gotta catch them all.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, no, goats have been the back of my mind. I think the goat mob is one of the coolest looking mobs and has some cool features.
Yeah, definitely.
That we've seen in a while. I really want to know what a goat horn will do. I'm banking / hoping for it will cause an avalanche, but
yeah,
who knows? Probably not.
Hoping it destroys all powdered snow in the area.
Oh, how mean would that be? So what, set up a stray farm? You just go over there blowing your goat's horn all the time?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Feel my wrath.
Like any falling block.
Yeah.
It would just destroy it. Man, that'd be an OP thing.
Oh, could you imagine a goat's horn in a skulk sensor?
Ooh.
It would send the deep dark into a frenzy.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a weapon against a warden. That's why.
Oh, man.
Oh, we're getting on to something.
Oh, snap.
But yeah, the powdered snow isn't really anything.
Yeah.
Well, we moved on from that. We're talking about goats.
Yeah.
We're on goats right now.
Yeah. Goats are cool. If you could ride a goat, I'd be all about some of that. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. And have that jumping ability.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe give you that jump.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Maybe goats can't jump for distance, just height.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, you don't get much. Maybe just a one block or two.
Mm-hmm.
But the vertical, there you go. Yeah, it'd be fun.
Anyways, what's some stuff you haven't really taken advantage of in 1.17?
I've collected most stuff, but I haven't messed with the cauldrons. I know you have a an area where the dripstone fills the cauldrons that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And dripstone, at that, I haven't messed with those much. I've collected them.
Yeah, because I got mine from you.
Yeah, I got a bunch. I'm always out looking for different stuff. But I think our problem is we already have our base established. Most servers and worlds, they've already started over. They started from scratch, and they can actually play with this stuff. They can find a use for the powdered snow and all these other farms. I already have my farms in place. I knew where they were going. I had my everything mapped out, and then here comes 117.
Yeah.
I love the blocks, and I would definitely have used them if I'd have known they were coming, but you didn't know. So
yeah,
that's pretty much why I haven't messed with any of those others.
Hence why my dome was designed the way it was. Thinking ahead.
Yeah.
That being said, I put a glow squid farm in a warm ocean, so that was dumb.
I was able to make a glow squid tank. That was a lot of fun. And I did grab some axolotls, but I haven't really played with them much. I would like to take an army of them and go conquer a
a guardian?
Yeah, a temple. Ocean temple.
Yeah.
Monument. Ocean monument.
That sounds like it would be a fun episode. We might need to team up on that.
I'm all for it.
Because I haven't messed with a guardian temple all season.
I did one on a stream, me and Croc went, because I needed sponges for the swamp. But that's about it. Yeah, I'm game.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I'll even break out the trident I have that's being collecting dust in my ender chest.
Mine's got a few cobwebs on it. We'll see if I can enchant it or something.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about the new seasons and stuff, and I can't help but mention, I've had this new base idea in my head for a while now. It's like, oh, all I want to do is build this sucker. It's one of those ultimate starter base type bases. I don't know if a lot of people remember my own survival, or I refer to it as Project Moss, but it was my series between season 2 and season 3 of Ripple Effect.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely fits that building style. And I've actually been considering going back and doing episodes in that world again, because it hasn't been updated since 116 came out.
Yeah, since before 116, right?
Yeah. Thought about, like, hey, just pick a really freaky texture pack, something that you're not used to seeing, and try building with it to see how different you can be. But then I realized all the builds I have in that world right now work with my one texture pack I use.
Yeah, I haven't seen too many different textures for the deep slate besides, I mean, how could you retexture that, really? Like the tile?
Yeah.
It's a really cool block. You've played with that block. That's another thing I haven't got to play with much is that deep slate.
Oh, deep slate's so nice.
I actually was able to use some of the, is it the smooth basalt or the smelted basalt?
I think it's smooth basalt.
Yeah, the polished is the other kind. Yeah, I was able to put some in my tower around just to see what it would look like. It pretty much looks the same as the regular basalt. The side of it, those textures all look the same. So I don't know if I'm going to exchange all those. But yeah, the deep slate, man, I never got around to use those. And I kind of have plans for them next season.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's going to have to wait. Never got to play with them yet.
Yeah.
You made a pretty cool wall out of the deep slate tiles, though. Or is it just deep slate in general?
Where at?
In the villager farm.
Oh, front or back?
Is it both? Isn't it both?
Yeah, the back side of it felt kind of plain to me. The entrance is literally just the tile with polished.
Mm-hmm.
In the back, I tried to do a randomized texturing. And it's okay. It doesn't blend as well like stone and andesite and cobble. Those all blend relatively easily. When it comes to the deep slate tile, everything has a harsh line with it when you try to blend it. So it doesn't blend as well. But tile by itself is such a beautiful block.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah, you're saying it's like your favorite now. And I'm probably there too.
Mm-hmm.
It does look really cool.
Lodestone, extremely beautiful block. Next to impossible to build with, but that was my favorite for a while. Andesite's my general go-to favorite block, but deep slate. Oh, it's taken over. I love some deep slate.
You get a lot of it.
Yes.
There's plenty of it.
Mm-hmm. Especially when 118 comes out and you'll be doing some mining in that area and it's just everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Have you got to play with much of the moss?
A little bit. Like you said, my gate has some moss on it, but that's kind of it. I'm on a little island, so I don't have a lot of room to do terrain foliage, if that makes sense.
I did a really cool thing with the moss blocks. I didn't record it. Okay. I probably should have recorded something, but I was mining for diamonds. I have these diamond beacons around my base, and I need these diamond blocks now. It's already in my head. So I went around and I put a beacon far away from my base to mine out at Y11, and I put moss blocks down. I dug out what I could until I couldn't insta-mine anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I put a moss block down, and I mossed all the stone. And then I insta-mined that moss with the, the hoe.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able, it will convert any stone into the moss block. So your ores stay ores. So you're able to mine out everything and expose all these ores by doing this method. It was really cool. I didn't find anything too special. Like, I didn't find any diamonds this way. I mean, I pretty much found a ton when I was insta-mining.
Yeah.
It is a really cool way to mine if you don't have that beacon and you have moss blocks. You need bone meal, of course, but yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, we see a lot of people digging with moss blocks now.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something new to mess with, but no, I haven't messed with moss blocks a lot. I think it was a very pretty block.
Yep.
And I really like how the azalea bushes and stuff come up from them. I think those are some of the best flowers in the game now.
Yeah, I don't use too many flowers.
Mm-hmm.
I did underestimate the azalea tree. I haven't played with it much, but I did grow quite a few. And because I'm in the swamp, they really stand out. You know, you don't get that dingy green, that dark green. It's bright, it's vibrant, and it looks really cool. And I didn't know it had that ability until I saw it in the game. So it's definitely something I underestimated was the tree, at least the leaves. I mean, the logs are still oak. That didn't change. They do generate a little different. It's not generated like an oak tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You get the rooted dirt underneath. I haven't even dug any of that up yet, or the roots.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at rooted dirt.
Yeah. Again, you know, our bases are kind of... I guess you could use some for landscaping, but landscaping's out of the question for me.
Yeah. My base has very limited landscaping, and any kind of landscaping that I do will be 100% artificial. So I'm trying to think, is there anything else we've missed on 117?
The ores? Copper?
I have not messed with copper. At all.
I've collected a bunch, but I know, again,
I haven't mined a single thing of copper.
You haven't mined one ore?
I haven't mined one ore of copper. I have 3 copper ingots, and all of those were from me fighting drowned at my base.
Wow. Yeah, I remember you mentioned you couldn't find any, but still.
Yeah.
Nothing came up, huh?
Nope. And for me to go mining in a 117 area, that's a 30-minute travel time just on a good day. And our server, we've been talking about, it's not running good. I don't like leaving my base.
Yeah.
Half my base does not load correctly right now, so I don't travel. So to travel to 117 for stuff is just, it's atrocious. I have to wait till basically no one's on before I can go anywhere.
And even if it's just you on, you're loading new chunks. So yeah, it's going to be a little laggy in those areas, at least when it's generating in.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you might hit some spots where it's, you know, struggling to load in.
Exactly.
And that can be frustrating.
Very much. So yeah, I haven't messed with copper, though I kind of wanted to use some lightning rods in my glow squid silo, but I didn't have enough copper to even craft one, so.
I was able to make a spyglass. Those are pretty cool. Again, I've had Optifine now that we updated it. 117.1, the spyglass is definitely useful. I guess that brings us to the amethyst geodes.
Mm-hmm.
You were able to find one of those, right?
I have found multiple, and they're not worth it to me right now.
Right.
And again, this is because I have to travel to 117, But the amount of time it takes for them to grow clusters and the fact that I have to sit there and wait for them to grow clusters.
Kind of hard to farm.
Right. And what's sad is it's a very useful thing right now because Winter made the data pack for our server where we can actually get the light block. And that's one amethyst crystal, I think shard or something like that, whatever it's called, surrounded by 8 glow lichen. And we get the light block.
Oh my God.
Which is awesome.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's in the server. I used them today.
I'm getting those. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's one thing I didn't mess with.
I AFK'd for like 6 hours inside an amethyst geode to make sure I had enough crystal shards or whatever they're called just for those light blocks. And I didn't get 18 stacks. I got maybe 15. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I was thinking, how convenient would it be if these crystals popped off with water flow, you know, instead of like...
Super convenient.
Even, you know, without pistons or something. It would be so much better if water could break these things.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind, you know, the inconvenience of it accidentally breaking it.
Yeah.
Or the headache of putting all these pistons around it.
Yeah. Now, obviously, when we update the server, there'll be a chance for a geo to be around my base, so it'll be loaded more often. So farming it wouldn't be as bad.
Yeah, it might be worth it.
Yeah, right now, going off of our experiences and the fact that I have to travel to Carl's base, and then I have to travel another 10 minutes from Carl's base to get to a geode, it's not worth the time and effort. It was okay last week because I would just set my guy out during a hockey game. Period would end, I'd come over and I'd mine all the clusters and then go back, watch hockey, and repeat and repeat and repeat. But yeah, no, I have very limited amount of time. I don't want to spend my time AFKing a geode.
Yeah, especially if there's none nearby.
Right.
That also brings us to tinted glass.
Yes.
I was real excited for tinted glass, but again, can't really use it. Not yet. I mean, unless you have like a spawner nearby you want to hook up eventually.
I really like tinted glass, and I think next season I will use a lot of tinted glass. But this season, it won't get used probably at all because I'm saving all of my amethyst shard crystal things for light blocks.
Mm. I have plans for the amethyst block next season. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to spoil anything.
I really wish you could silk touch the budding block, though.
Yeah, at least give us the water breaking.
Yeah.
That would help.
Yeah, but we'll see next season. We'll revisit this to see if geodes being closer to home make them worth it. I think they will, but I can't say for sure.
Yeah, it's hard for us to know as of right now because we're so far away from the 117 chunks. It's kind of inconvenient to go there. You kind of got to set up shop in a new base to really dive into it.
Yeah.
But I mean, like the mobs and some of the blocks you can bring back home, but the geodes, that's one thing you just can't.
Mm-hmm.
And even copper, like I guess you could farm the copper, but to get it naturally in the ground, you got to mine it. And you do get a lot. You do get a lot of these new ores. I'm pretty happy about that. When you go mining, the ores are pretty abundant now. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I haven't even tried to do the fortuning on the new ores yet. Or the old ores, I should say. The new fortuning on old ores.
Yeah, you get a good bit.
But I think that's going to do it for the show today. Before I have Jimbo read us out, I want to say a huge thank you to all of our patrons who are supporting the show. Our milk level patrons are Omni, Chief Big Bear, Croc, Deadwalker, Fragile Rock, Obeep, Stonefigure, and Viperous Tuna. If you too would like to get access to exclusive benefits and hours of extra content each month, please consider joining at patreon.com/thewitheringeffect.
And if you like the show, you can share it with all of your friends and on social media. If you listen on Spotify, follow us. Or if you listen on Apple Podcasts, leave us a nice review. Doing any of these really helps the show reach more listeners. If you'd like to get in contact with us, send an email to podcast@thewitheringeffect.com. Tweet us, leave a voice message, or join our Discord where you can have a chat with everyone who works on the show and fellow listeners. All the links will be in the show notes.
This show has been brought to you by Jimbo and myself, but also our digital producer, Carl. He helps make sure the show ends up where it should be, and the amazing music you hear in the intro and outro is created by the one and only Decoy. Everyone's social media info can be found in the show notes. You guys have been awesome as always. Thank you so much for getting withered with us. You should probably go drink your milk now. Bye.
See you guys.